Today is a very different day to Palm Sunday less than a week ago. Shouts of Hosanna have become shouts of Crucify. Lips that were praising Jesus and hailing him as King have become lips that mock Jesus as a false and failed King. Hands that were waving palm branches in praise have turned to clenched fists of anger and rage. Those who were laying down cloaks in honor are now rolling dice for a chance to win the only piece of clothing that Jesus possessed that was of worth any value. Arms that were prepared to lift Jesus onto a donkey to hail him as King are now raising him up onto a wooden cross as a criminal. And yet, just as with Palm Sunday, as Laura described so wonderfully last week, things are not what they seem. Today is a day that we choose to stare suffering and pain in the face. It's also a day that we dare to call good. When much of our world invites us to avoid and minimize suffering, Good Friday invites us to not only reflect on it, but to see the God of suffering and even dare to embrace it. There is much within us that may want to resist, much within us that may even feel uncomfortable or ill at ease with today. We may even wonder what the world thinks of a group of people who choose to worship a crucified God. An early disciple of Jesus thought exactly the same thing when he wrote this. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, it is the power to save. And it seems that a God who chooses to suffer and die was the last thing that people expected, including Jesus' closest friends. By this point, Judas has betrayed Jesus, Peter has denied him, and the other disciples have fled. Because death by Roman crucifixion was indeed a sign of defeat, a sign of failure. I came across this image the other day. It's difficult to maybe make out from where you are, but it's actually a piece of ancient Roman graffiti, most likely scratched into a rock around 200 years after Jesus' death. If you can't quite see it, it depicts the crucifixion of Jesus, but with the head of a donkey. The inscription underneath simply reads, "Alexamenos worships his God." It's actually a piece of ancient graffiti mocking Christianity as a foolish religion. We can take it down now. You see, in ancient times, Roman and Greek gods were distant, and they were powerful, and they were to be feared. They were also easily angered, and so needed to be placated and obeyed for fear of vengeance and retribution. So the reality of a god becoming human, even walking amongst us and using his power to serve and even to suffer, was foolish. It was laughable in the ancient world. On Good Friday, we see the shocking truth that Jesus doesn't destroy sin and wickedness and evil through power and might, because surely if he did and this were true, we would be collateral damage along the way. Instead, he allows it to seemingly destroy him. Even today, by modern standards, Christianity is the only faith that places a suffering servant at its heart. Other faiths encourage us to avoid suffering at all costs, or simply to see suffering as what you deserve if you have led a bad life. Or religion sees suffering as some kind of form of weakness that should never be associated with an all-powerful God. But the cross of Jesus puts a suffering God at the very heart of the Christian story. And it's something that is deep within the story and the prophetic writings of the scriptures. generations and generations before Jesus, the prophet Isaiah spoke of a suffering servant, one who would come and carry the sin and the brokenness and the pain of the world, defeating it not through revenge or might, but through carrying it in his own body. Let's listen to some of those words we started with at the beginning of the service. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him to be punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Within the prophetic writings of the Hebrew scriptures was this upside down and hidden truth. Today is good because we trust that Jesus has carried and absorbed the worst of our pain and sin. Today is good because as Jesus died, the power that sin and evil is has died with him. It has no claim over us because Jesus, who committed no sin, became sin for us. God's answer to the brokenness of the world was to become brokenness himself. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everything that bends us out of shape, past, present, and future, has been laid on him and has been carried by him. And so this morning, I want to encourage us to come to the cross afresh. Let's remember that God is not distant to our suffering. In fact, he has entered into it, and this is most vividly expressed in the fact that he died on the cross. And as he does this, what is his response? His response is not to proclaim defeat, but victory. He proclaims, "It is finished." Not a cry of defeat, but a cry of victory. All that separates us from God and one another, finished, defeated, dealt with. And so we come to the cross, and the world sees a failed king with a crown of thorns, a purple robe, nails through the feet that once brought good news, nails through the hands of the one who proclaimed forgiveness and healing. But what do we see? We see a suffering servant who poured out his life unto death and bore our sins in his body on the cross. This is a Good Friday.